I'd like to begin today, if I could, by telling two separate stories, if you will, of stories of two separate men living in different times. Story number one is about a successful businessman. From childhood, this individual seemed to have something incredible gift, a born leader, some would say. He graduates with honors at a reputable university. Everything that he touches in his life seems golden. He succeeds in business and any venture that he partakes in. He's well respected by his colleagues and his co-workers. He's an industry leader. He lives his life. At the end of his life, he's still very well respected. His accomplishments are many. But his family hates him, and he dies alone. Successful businessman. Story number two. Once again, a child is born exhibiting very strong leadership skills. He grows up, works hard, and he takes a special message to the world, a message that has never been heard before. After a few short years, he's falsely accused and sentenced to a brutal and unjust death. His life for centuries is celebrated, but grossly misunderstood, and his message was all but lost. Brethren, of these two individuals, one obviously a modern-day example, no specific person in mind, by the way. And story number two, the story of Jesus Christ. Which man was successful? The first man succeeded everything that he set out to accomplish. But in the eyes of society, the second man could be deemed a failure. Or could he? My title today, if you will, is The Measure of a Man. How do you measure success? Society measures success by what is accomplished more than likely in business or in a person's occupation. We are what we do. I remember a couple of years ago I was invited to a party, a Super Bowl party, that a local judge was having for some of the different people in the community that had various roles in the community. And I think I was invited by mistake, but I was invited nevertheless. And I thought it odd that as I worked around the room introducing myself to different people, the first question that was asked of me was what I did. And the first information that was offered to me was what the other people did for a living. And by definition, that's who they were. They were lawyers, they were judges, they were entrepreneurs, they were many different things. But they defined themselves by what they did. And their success or their failure in life largely depended on these occupations and these businesses that they held. So the question is, how should we and how do we define ourselves? If you'll turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sure we all know this very well. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So we can see when we're called into the church, we should never be under the false assumption that we are industry leaders or that we are captains of industry, if you will. This is, brings us right back to our roots so that absolutely no arrogance or self-righteousness can exist. If we're true to ourselves and we're honest with ourselves, we can't possibly think that God has called us because we are somebody or because we are successful, and he needs our success to rub off, so to speak. It is so easy to get caught up in society's ideas of what success means. When we define ourselves, when we define each other, and when we define the Church of God, success and or failure, in these previous instances, were strictly physical, weren't they? Now we see that when we're called, we are certainly nothing special until God starts working with us. But if you'll turn to Romans in chapter 12, I just want to take a brief look here at how we could measure our success. Romans chapter 12, and picking it up right in verse 1, actually. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Let's just add verse 3 in there. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So perhaps we could better say that we are successful as to how we're implementing this verse in our lives. Are we successfully offering ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service? Are we succeeding? Or are we failing? This is the covenant that we've made with our Creator. We have committed to giving ourselves a living sacrifice, and quite oftentimes, physically speaking, we may face failures, shortcomings. Continually, we face shortcomings. There is no way that while being physical, we could possibly accomplish this goal to becoming perfect. But it could certainly define who we are and how we're measuring up. Are we successful? If you'll turn with me back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 this time, and verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, picking it up in verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. So, brethren, our success and or failure of accomplishing this goal on the Feast of Trumpets, which is an annual reminder of the return of Jesus Christ, and this final success, the successful implementation of this perfect plan of God that this world so desperately needs. But if you refer back to the two stories that I told in the beginning, Jesus Christ was a success in every part of his plan. He lived a perfect life, and he interceded for all of mankind and made and reconciled us all to the Father. So, brethren, although if we look at success and failure from a worldly perspective, sometimes we may not be measuring up. But we need to focus on our spiritual success and help to do our part to continue to hold on to this truth that we've been given. And on this day, be reminded that the perfect plan of God will be fulfilled, and that Jesus Christ will successfully return and successfully take control and offer all of mankind a long-lasting and meaningful success.